Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, May the 8th, 2026. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Right on time, by the way. We can note that one up. 67 degrees here in the studio. As I said yesterday, we have these warmer afternoons, so I think the heat is no longer on in this building. So you walk in here and you think, well, 67 degrees is not really that cold, but the truth is that I don't think there's been any heat on in the building overnight, so it's like walking into a damp house is what it feels like here in the studio in the morning. But I love being in these offices, probably my favorite studios to be in, acoustically and just aesthetically. Good parking. I don't know why I'm talking about this morning, but here we are. It's been a long week. It's been election week. It's been taping week. It's been city council stuff. It's been a long week. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And I guess the big news this morning is that our Attorney General, Dave Yost, has announced his resignation as of yesterday. He's going to go work as a lawyer in the pretty much the private sector, more or less. He's not going to be working for the government anymore. And this brings up an interesting question. Mike DeWine has to appoint his replacement by June the 7th. And there are two schools of thought on this right now. Mike DeWine will appoint somebody in the government, maybe his deputy attorney, Yost deputy attorney general, to fill that spot, and all will be well, and that will be the way it goes. Or he will appoint Tuesday night's winners and shift everybody in the government into the spot that they're running for, so they will all be incumbents come election night this year. Faber would become the attorney general because that's the office he's running for. LaRose would become the auditor. And then Jay Edwards would become the treasurer because that would be Sprague would become the secretary of state, so on and so forth. And Jay Edwards would be the odd man out who's not in office. He would be appointed treasurer. So that way going in, they already all would be in those jobs. That's the two schools of thought, depending on which news source or newspaper you're reading. But interesting timing by old Mr. Yost to do that 2 days after the election results come in.
I think it'd be good for the Republicans should they appoint everybody to the jobs in which they're running for. But I would be very upset with DeWine should he make that move.
Well, he's in a tough spot. Because I'm sure
he doesn't need the party's favor anymore. He's done.
No, but you want to go down as somebody who was liked. And I think
I would like DeWine a lot more if he didn't.
Yeah, but I don't think he's looking for your admiration. Like yesterday, we had Frank LaRose on the show before that news broke. And LaRose, I said, well, what do you make of the 8 years of Mike DeWine? Now, LaRose has served as Secretary of State exactly coinciding with Mike DeWine's gubernatorialship. And all he can say at the end is, I think he was a good statesman. I didn't agree with a lot of his decisions. So Mike DeWine doesn't want that to be his legacy in the Republican Party, and he's not going to have a great legacy in the Democratic Party either. So, you know, you do worry about that, I'm sure, if you're Mike DeWine, a man who spent your entire life in politics.
I think you should have worried about that a little more before the whole First Energy scandal.
I don't think that'll follow.
I'll remember that until the day I die.
Well, yeah, but I don't think most people do, or they'd vote different. But phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's probably your big political story of the day. I think DeWine will take his time on this because I don't think he knows today which way he's going to go.
I think DeWine, I don't know. I mean, I think it would probably benefit the party should he appoint all those people to those jobs.
Yes, and I'm sure that Faber is telling him to do that.
Well, I'm sure the party wants him to do
that. I'm sure
yeah.
the party is telling him to do that. I'm sure Dave Yost on the way out told him to do that. Dave Yost chose this time to do this, and I'm sure that was no mistake. He could have done it last week before we knew who the candidates were going to be.
He could just not.
He could not what?
Resign.
Well, too late. He already did.
Well, you can rescind the resignation, apparently.
Well, only if they accept the rescission of your resignation. And I don't think DeWine's probably not very happy with him right now. But I don't know. I think that's very, very interesting how this has all come down. But anyway, that's the big. That was the big news story yesterday, as far as that goes. Now, election results have been interesting. We talked a little bit on Wednesday morning about this. Now that you've had a chance to ruminate about the election results, what do you think?
Anything in particular, just the entire election?
The whole thing.
I think that, Heather Hill ended up getting something like 7% of the vote, and Vivek ended up getting something like 18% of the vote.
I'm glad you bring that up, because the one person I did see making posts yesterday, now Heather Hill believes that the reason Dave Yost resigned was because of how she was treated at the end of her term. That he did, I'm trying to think of how she worded this, that he did not want to face any legal challenges, and he didn't agree with what was going on with her candidacy. Now, how his resignation gets linked back to her, I have no idea. But that was her thought.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that.
I don't think anybody does. except her, maybe. And I'm not even sure that she believes it.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense there.
You know, this is the thing about candidates that is kind of funny. I think they believe, especially when they don't win, I think they believe that everybody's out to get them. I think they believe that the world is circling around them, and it's really not.
I think maybe some of them. I mean, I could see some of them, but I don't know. I mean, you just... People are going to vote for who they like. I mean, they just like the other guy better.
Yeah, but you can't accept that.
Why not?
Because
I feel like it's a pretty simple step to make there.
Yeah, but you always want to believe that you're the better person. You always want to believe that you're the outsider.
Well, yes, I'm sure you believe you're the better person. Otherwise, you wouldn't have run. I mean, if you thought that the other person was better than you, then you probably would have just voted for them.
Well, now listen. I went over this yesterday on the show, but maybe it bears repeating in this conversation, is that in our 86 district race this time around, nasty, nasty, nasty race. A lot of money pumped in there. A lot of negative ads. A lot of negative stuff going on. You heard on Wednesday Ben Weber's statement. Basically, the party needs to come together. Thank you for my win. So on and so forth. Typically what a politician does. Stephen Wolf, we wish we would have had a different outcome. But, you know, this is the way it goes. And, you know, typically what a politician does. And then Weslyn Davis. And I read this yesterday on the air, and it's still up here on the computer, so why not read it again? This is what she wrote. This election did not end the way I hoped it would, but I leave this race with
yeah, I know it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I had to read it like four times and then just left off the air.
See, I thought I was maybe just not reading it right yesterday.
Nope.
Who do you think wrote this for her? Race with a clear eyes and a grateful heart. I ran because I believed our communities deserve someone willing to tell the truth, challenge the system, and stand up to powerful people. Over the past 2+ years, nearly $800,000 in insider money was spent trying to stop me. Attack ads flooded the airwaves and your mailboxes. A lot of things were said about me that simply were not true. But that is what happens when you refuse to play along with the people who think they own the process. I understood the cost of this before I ever entered it, and even today, I would not change the decision to fight. I want to congratulate my opponent on his victory and wish him well moving forward. I hope he serves the district with humility, courage, and a deep respect for the hard-working people who call it home. To every volunteer, supporter, friend, and family member who believed in me, thank you. You gave your time, your energy, your prayers, and your faith to something bigger than politics. I will never forget it. You know, I didn't notice that. What does that mean?
Something bigger than politics?
Yeah, wasn't this a political race? What did they give their time to that was something bigger than politics?
I don't know. Maybe they just think that they had like a, or I guess she specifically. Or maybe she just thinks that she had like they were in it for the politics maybe, and that she was in it. I don't know. So I'm sure she has some kind of logic behind it. I don't subscribe to that, but
does that sound like sure sour grapes to you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you cut out the entire like middle portion there, which is, you know, the majority of it, then I think it's fine. But the middle portion, yes, I think that's sour grapes. I mean, it starts with like, you know, I basically lost the race and I have clear eyes, and then ends with I hope he serves with humility and whatnot and congratulated him on his victory. But the middle portion there is just $800,000 spent to smear me and, you know.
You know, I do not understand why people do that.
I think if she wants to run for something again, that's probably not the best way to start it off.
I think she's going to have a very hard time running for anything of substantiation. It's not a good thing when you run for the same office twice and you lose votes in between.
A lot of people have short-term memories. I think that...
Apparently not with her.
Well, she ran basically the same campaign. I mean, it was a nasty campaign against Tracy Richardson, and it was a nasty campaign against Ben. I mean, I think that maybe if she just ran... Like, I mean, Ben didn't run a nasty campaign. He won. I mean, maybe she could just take a note from that, run a different style of campaign, and do better.
Well, and I thought... Now, maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while. But if you go back and listen to some of the interviews she did here last year, I thought she said she wasn't going to do that again. Run a campaign that was, you know, sharp-elbowed.
I do not.
And I don't understand this whole thing about stopping her.
Stopping her.
That they were out to stop her. I think they just liked Ben better, and that's why they gave him the money. I don't think they have any idea who she is. I think they know who the candidates are, and this is the best candidate for them, the people who gave their money, and that's that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the PAC money, because Ben had the PAC money behind him. I think they probably just liked Ben better. I mean, Ben, you know, he had been around. At some level, you know, he's never, like, served in office, I guess, but he has been in the state house working with people, so on and so forth.
Again, I've said it many times, I think she's a driven person. I think she has a lot of ambition. And that's not a bad thing. I just don't think people like her. I think they see her as very divisive, and that's a very hard thing to shake right now. And I also think that she's done a very good job of associating herself with divisiveness, and that's how people see her. The people who love her, but the people who are even on the fence can't stand her. And, you know, that's not where you want to be in the political world.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'd agree, yeah. I mean, I think you want as many people to like you as possible. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. But you need as many people to like you as possible. I mean, you got to win an election. You need numbers.
Well, it seems like her philosophy is flawed in that to get people absolutes to get people's absolute undying support, smear everybody who is even on the fence with me, and I don't think that's a good strategy.
Well, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't know if I mean I didn't see any advertisements. Now that I think about it, but I didn't see any advertisements towards the beginning of the campaign, but maybe they were. Maybe she just started the whole smear campaign back up after she realized that, you know, she wasn't doing so hot.
Well, that's the end of her, and I think it was the sour grapes portion that probably did not go over well. But I would not be surprised if she ran for something again.
Well, I'm sure she will.
I don't think it'll be wise to run for this seat again.
Probably not.
But, you know, do what you want, I guess.
Well, I mean, no. Every time you run, you build name recognition, I guess.
Well, she's ran twice and went down.
Yeah.
I think she's getting name recognition.
I think people maybe just like Ben.
Well, you have to say that he won over 50% of the vote in Marion County. Now, this was her stronger hold against Tracy Richardson was Marion County. I think she only lost Marion County by 10% the last time around.
I have asked a couple of people about the elections, and I do know that a few people who voted for Wesleyan.
Oh, well.
Apparently, I mean...
That's what she got, a few.
Yeah.
But there you are. Now, the county commissioner race, Stiverson wins that. A week ago, you thought the man was down and out.
Well, yeah, I mean, Stiverson did little to no campaigning, to my knowledge. I mean, unless he ran, like, some kind of Facebook thing. I mean, I don't get on Facebook, so I couldn't tell you there. But... I mean, back to the yard signs, I guess. I mean, there were no yard signs. I didn't see anything about. I mean, maybe a couple, but like, I mean, it was towards the end. I think Neff had the most yard signs, then Mooney, then Schauber, and I saw like maybe two or three Stiverson.
And Neff finished third.
And yes,
I think that came down to Neff had never ran before. Mooney has been involved with the Central Committee for a long time. I think that's why he got up to second place. And Stiverson was the first one to get to 30%. Former county commissioner and also current chair of the Republican Party locally. The current chair is not going to have a poor showing, especially when they are the former county commissioner.
Yeah, but they didn't campaign at all.
I don't think he had to.
I would have campaigned. I mean, like, yeah, I guess he's right. He didn't have to, but I would have campaigned. I mean, I don't know. I feel like everybody else was campaigning. I mean, I wouldn't want to be left behind in the campaigning.
Well, it's a Republican primary, and I think if you're the chair of the Republican Party for a long time, a lot of people see your name on mailers. A lot of people have voted for you in the past. So, I mean, that's not a shocking thing.
I suppose not. I mean, he was already a county commissioner at one point in time.
Now, I do have to say, though, that I do know people who are would not self-identify themselves as a Republican, who did pull Republican ballots to vote for Jason Schauber, which I think is very interesting.
I think I am the only one I know who did that. Well, I don't know. Naomi called in, I guess. But Naomi says she's a Republican now, so I guess Republican ballot for her.
Well, right, but I'm just saying there are people who would not have self-identified as Republicans and probably were not big fans of any other of the candidates who pulled those ballots to vote for him. So, you know, I think that says something. I think he's a Republican in philosophy. I'm not really sure. It's hard in a primary to be in favor with the Republican voter if the Republicans are not fans of yours.
I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot. The local politics really doesn't need party affiliation.
Well, there's another one this morning. Another person saying they pulled a Republican ballot to vote for Schauber.
Well, that's good. Look at that.
There are a lot of people who did that.
There are a few of us.
Yeah, I think. Well, I've ran into quite a few who said they did that. So, you know, that's going to make Jason feel good that I don't think anybody else had that cross appeal.
Not to my knowledge, no.
So, he says his political career is over. What do you think?
Well, fair enough, I guess. I mean, you know, I mean, it's sad. I mean, just served for a long time to go out on, a lost election's always rough.
You know what's funny to me? Monday night, City Council will be appointing the new 4th Ward City Council person.
Who do you think's going to be?
Well, I ran into somebody yesterday who told me who they felt it was going to be. And, this would be somebody who would be somewhat in the know. And I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to sway anything, but it would be an interesting choice. I'll tell you what, it's not the all-out Republican choice. I'll say that. So I still think that's up for Monday night. I think if you put yourself forth, you might have a chance, because I don't think everybody's all made a decision on this shit, all the council people.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I figured it would be somebody pretty well known within the party.
It doesn't seem that way.
It has to be in the fourth ward, so.
Right, and apparently the Republicans are having a hard time getting somebody who fits those qualifications. So I don't know. I think that's going to be interesting to find out on Monday night, but if it's the person that I was told yesterday, that's very interesting.
Would they be able to just run, like, a special election?
No, not at this point. No. Goes to city council. Then it would go to the mayor if they can't do it. But also, I will say, now this is something funny. This tells you about endorsements, okay? Somebody, and there's a lot of people who would endorse, so here, take it for what you will. But somebody also, same person yesterday I ran into, said they endorsed publicly Wesleyan Davis. Absolutely publicly on social media endorsed her. Did the whole picture thing with her and so on and so forth. And then they said, and they kind of leaned in and whispered, but I voted for Stephen Wolf.
Oh,
and you see, that's her problem.
I liked Stephen Wolf personally, the best out of the three of them.
Yeah, but I think that
good news.
But see, that to me was always her problem. I think she hounded people for endorsement.
What'd they get out of it?
Get out of what?
And the endorsing her.
Well, I think she hounds people for that, and I think she asks for it. And again, that's her determination and her.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it. I mean, if you weren't even going to vote for her, you endorse her.
I don't think they hate her. I think they just think, okay, if you want this, fine, I'll do it. But they don't really want her in that office.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not great to be endorsing somebody who you do not who you were not voting for. You're literally pulling the Tucker Carlson card.
Yeah, but I think it's funny in a way.
It's funny, I guess.
Because I didn't ask, and they had no problem telling that they did not vote for her.
Oh, boy.
And I think it has a lot to do with the people she aligns herself with as well. She does not align herself with the likable group. You know, she's not with the Jack Kellogg's and the Tracy Richardsons. And that's another one of her problems.
Well, I mean, she's running on being the anti-establishment candidate. You can't go get establishment people. I mean, he hasn't been in politics for a while, I guess, but Jack Kellogg's still establishment, I would say. And I'd say the same thing about Tracy Richardson. She is still in office.
Well, that's what I said the other day. Whose endorsement did she have? I did not think Ray Grogan's endorsement was a good idea.
She had a lot of county commissioners. She had Ray Grogan. She had
one county commissioner. I think.
Really?
Dr. Davis endorsed Ben Weber. Davidson endorsed her, but I don't think Apfelfeller endorsed anybody.
Well, then I guess it's just the city council. I know she had a few city council people.
But I think she made, like, tactical errors. Like, when the Ray Grogan Ratliff thing was all heated up, and that was all in the news everywhere, she put out that she had the endorsement of Ray Grogan, and I thought, well, is that the best time to do that?
Ray Grogan might have people, maybe.
Well, where were they on Tuesday?
Well, they might have showed up.
Is that part of the 30% that showed up for her? I don't know. It just seemed like a lot of tactical errors. And I think city council is not very popular right now because a lot of people feel that Marion's going down the chute. So why would you want to have that endorsement?
I figure you'd want the endorsement I mean, maybe, I mean, I guess endorsements are good things to have, I suppose, but wouldn't you try to get endorsement? Well, no, because then I guess you're trying for the establishment people. It's the same thing.
And Mayor Collins was smart and stayed out of it and didn't endorse anybody.
Yep.
So there you go.
I don't know why people endorse people in primaries anyway.
Well, I think a lot of people ask, and a lot of people do support the candidates
well,
that
I'm
they,
sure
they are endorsing.
Ask, but you don't.
Yeah, but why?
But you don't have to do it.
Well, I don't think a lot of them feel they have to do it. Some of them do, clearly. But I think some of them say, well, yeah, this is probably the best choice. This is who I'll vote for.
I mean, I guess if you really think that, like, you know, I guess in this race, if you really thought that, you know, Weslin, Ben, Steve, any of them were, you know, the best candidate and you endorsed them in the primary, then, I mean, I guess good on you.
Yeah, but I mean, what I didn't understand
wouldn't
was...
Wouldn't you think that hurts your candidate come general?
No, not certain people. And certain people had absolutely no impact on it. Like, I don't think Jack Kellogg hurt you. I don't think Tracy Richardson hurt you. I don't think a county commissioner hurt you right now.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think there are people who do hurt you, and I think that's the problem.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But this idea of, like, a Bill and Jane down the street endorsed me, who cares? I don't even understand that.
I don't know of any, like, random endorsements. I mean,
I saw random endorsements.
I mean, I just know, like,
hey, this is Bill and Joan, and they live in my neighborhood, and they're strong Republicans, and they're endorsing me. Well, okay, good. Who are they?
So, like, people just being endorsed by their neighbors?
I think at some point it came to that. Hey, this is a bus driver, and he's very popular in the community, and he endorsed me.
Why do endorsements mean things to people?
It used to be certain ones did. If you were running for like a district office like this, state rep, somebody who is a state, like the governor, good endorsement. Former governors, good endorsements. Congress
yeah,
people,
why,
good endorsements.
But like, why do I care who endorsed you? If I don't like you, I'm not going to vote for you. Like that, that's about it. If I like you, I'm probably going to vote for you. It doesn't matter who endorses you.
Oh, but yeah, but that's you. So you're, again, here we go
just
again.
Like, people in general.
I understand how you feel. But what I'm saying is, it does matter to people. Matter of fact, it matters to me.
Endorsements.
If there was a candidate that I was iffy about and did not know if I wanted to vote for them or not, and somebody who I had great respect for as a politician recommended them, which is what an endorsement is, I would have to say, are they willing to put their reputation on the line for this person? What do they see in them? And I would want to know what that endorsement was. It's kind of like finding a good mechanic. I might not know how good you are as a mechanic. I'm iffy on you. But if a guy who used to be a mechanic is a good mechanic and recommends you, that means something to me.
Yeah, but
why is it? Why would I disregard?
But Jack politicians Kellogg, are on the same team. Mechanics aren't.
I
on
don't
the same
think
team.
Jack. I don't think Jack Kellogg's on anybody's team.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, but
like, and Jack Kellogg's endorsement
would mean
something to me.
I think it would mean something if there was a cross the aisle endorsement. If a Republican endorsed a Democrat or vice versa, I might be like, huh, okay. Well,
yeah,
it's not going to happen, because
they're
on teams.
Well, that's not true. But what does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, what does it mean? I mean, why does that mean they're going to be effective? Just because you aren't the same party as that person, you endorse them.
You already got bipartisan support.
Yeah, but it doesn't
mean... At least in theory.
What do you know about them?
Who?
The person who did this. I mean, what... That doesn't... Oh, yeah, that person's got to be a good person because somebody from across the aisle...
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend... Yeah, I mean...
That doesn't mean anything to me.
I guess it would just depend on who does the endorsement and who gets endorsed, I guess.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I believe that the person was a good politician and I believe that that person would not put their name next to somebody who they didn't trust, yeah, I'll take that. I'm not saying... It's a guarantee that I'm going to vote for that person, but it means something. So to say that endorsements don't mean anything, I don't think that's true.
I just, like I said, they're just on the same team.
I don't think, again, I don't think Jack Kellogg
especially
is on the
especially
come
the general election. The primaries maybe make a little more sense, but the general election, I mean, they're literally, I mean, you don't have another choice. That's,
yeah,
you're
but
on
I don't,
the same team.
Okay, but I again, I don't understand. You probably are going to know more about Republicans if you're a Republican, and that's why you're endorsing them. But I have to, why aren't you endorsing the other two? Why aren't you endorsing the other person in the race? They're a Republican too. Why do you feel so strongly about this one? What are they going to do for you? You're not running for office again. And that's why I think Bill Collins stayed out of it.
Who? Who's not running for office?
Jack Kellogg.
Oh.
And Tracy Richardson
well,
is
Jack
not running
Kellogg
for anything
still,
currently.
Yeah, but Jack Kellogg, he just got, like, the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Right, but why does he have to... He didn't have to endorse anybody.
And he is the longest-serving mayor in Marion's history. Like, Jack Kellogg, I mean, he's...
And how many people do you see him endorsing?
I don't think fabled is the right word, but everybody knows Jack
Kellogg.
How
many people do you see him endorsing?
Jack Kellogg?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Okay.
Besides
so
Weber.
Right. So the fact that he did that, to me, meant something. He's not running for office. He doesn't have to do it. Most people like that will stay quiet in a primary because they don't have to do it. Nobody's forcing them. And they don't need to do it. So the fact that they do it, yeah, that means something to me. Especially when I consider that person to have done a good job in their career.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like when I don't know. It
doesn't matter to everybody. It doesn't matter to you. But to say that it doesn't matter to anybody, that's nuts.
Well, no, I didn't say it didn't matter to anybody. I said, why does it matter to anybody?
Well, I just told you why. Because they don't have to do it. A primary is all why that person, as opposed to the other people in your party, and why are you choosing that person? That person obviously had something that you felt the other one didn't. And the phone lines are open, by the way, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody else understand political endorsements? And by the way, if you're an unknown, it helps you to have somebody who is known attaching themselves to your campaign. Why do you think that Randy Weston had Amy Acton on his brochure and also had endorsed by Governor Strickland? Why do you think Hambly was running commercials with Governor Celestinum? Why do you think Jay Edwards' whole campaign was about the vice president's endorsement? Why do you think Ramaswamy, out of the bat, every commercial was Donald Trump's endorsement? Because if people don't know about you, you hope they know about that more known entity.
I think that's about the only valid reason to get an endorsement. Is you are not known and this person is known.
Well, yeah, that's what the reason is.
But even then, it's not like, oh, okay, yeah. No, it's just, I now know you're in the race.
For you.
I didn't know you were in there before. Now I know.
Right, but I understand for you that's the case, but for a lot of people who would have voted for that person, that's why Jack Kellogg, see, I guess you got to be around a while. When Jack Kellogg was leaving his 16 years as mayor, Phil Reed was the Republican running for mayor. Scott Schertzer was the Democrat. Scott Schertzer was a sitting city council member. Phil Reed was the sitting council president, and he would not endorse either one of them. And he said the reason was, I'm the sitting mayor. I've worked with both of them. They're both currently on council. I'm still working with both of them. And I don't think that's right to do. I'm staying out of it.
Well, that's good.
And Phil Reed was not particularly happy about that.
I can imagine.
Because he felt that I'm the Republican. Why aren't you endorsing me?
Well, I don't know. Do better.
And then some people, nobody's asking for Mike DeWine's endorsement, and he's the sitting two-term governor. They feel that will hurt him.
No, I'd get DeWine.
Hurt them. Hurt them.
I'd get DeWine's endorsement.
Well, that's why you would not win. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But it's an interesting discussion, and
You think it'd do Amy Acton any good if she got DeWine's endorsement?
No.
It's not going to happen, but because he already endorsed Vivek. But.
No, because people in the... She's got to get the Democrats and the independents, and I'm not sure they're all that hot
on the line. You don't think it would sway any independents?
No, because I think it would do more damage to her with people who like her. Because there would be a lot of people who would say, why do you want him? We don't like him.
Well, he obviously likes her.
Yeah, I think he likes her, but why do you want to parade that around? I mean, it's not like you want Mike DeWine in your commercials if you're Amy Acton.
It's just bipartisanship.
Yeah, I don't think you understand voting. Maybe this is why you always vote for the people who don't win.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to vote for people who do win. I'm trying to vote for the people I like.
Yeah. Do you think people would have had Richard Nixon endorse him and start appearing in commercials if they were running for president? Well, now, Richard Nixon, very smart man.
Richard Nixon.
And they all called on him for advice, but you think they all... Yeah, come on, President Nixon. You were a president. You were popular.
Nixon had some problems, you know.
And a lot of people see DeWine as having some problems with the First Energy thing.
Yeah, the First Energy thing, you know, that's, you know.
Especially yeah. Democrats.
Yeah, I'm not, you know. He definitely sold some interest there.
So regardless, endorsements do matter, but I just think people go too far down the rabbit hole with endorsements. People we don't know, who would care?
So where does it end? Like, are council people good? County commissioners? Like local office people, I suppose? Or do you just try to go up?
Local office people are probably good, but I think if they are unpopular, it's not a good idea.
Well, I think if anybody's unpopular, I guess it's probably not a good idea, yeah.
Right, so I can't say that they're all good, but you got to know what you're doing, I guess. It's not just to rack up endorsements to rack them up, no. Bad idea.
I guess. I don't know.
Kevin Davidson probably didn't hurt her any. I mean, I don't think he's seen as a bad politician. I don't think he's seen as a divisive person. So that was probably a good one that she had.
Okay.
All right. 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, feel free to give us a buzz. Oh, and we didn't talk about this a lot the other night on the television show. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Ted Turner died this week at 87. And if you're doing anything in broadcasting, you have to tip your hat to Ted Turner. Really got the ball on cable television rolling in the 1970s. TBS became the superstation. TNT, TCM... CNN created CNN, the first round-the-clock cable news network, went all over the world. And this guy pledged $1 billion to the United Nations and paid it off.
Why?
Because they honored him, and the United Nations did not have a lot of money. And Ted Turner believed in world peace. There was a guy who was not a politician, never wanted to be a politician.
The UN's pretty weak.
But he, again, believed in diplomacy.
I believe in diplomacy. I just think that the UN's pretty weak.
So let's knock the guy now that he's dead. I guess it's Matt's philosophy here this morning. I bet Matt couldn't tell you 10 things about Ted Turner.
He ruined the world. Made 24-hour television.
And he's dead now, by the way. So there's a good eulogy for him.
Created 24-hour television.
Well, he didn't create 24-hour television. He created the first 24-hour news channel.
Well, same concept, I guess.
And he did say that was one of the proudest things that he ever did.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, yeah, it's historic. I'll give him that, you know. Good honor.
Because everybody told him he couldn't do it. That nobody would watch news all day long. And that it would be fragmented. And how could you go up against those big networks, which they were at the time, with big news departments all over the world? And he did. And CNN, for a long time, was the leading source of news around the country. And to this day, everybody still knows CNN. And Ted Turner, just, he owned the Atlanta Braves, took them to a World Series. He won the America's Cup, gave $1 billion to the UN.
What was the America's Cup?
Boat races.
Boat races, okay.
But this guy will forever be seen as one of the titans of the industry. He will forever be seen as somebody who was not afraid to take a risk.
Well, that's good.
Everybody told him, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I think he liked that. And I think he liked doing it.
Well, yeah, proving people wrong is always a good feeling.
Yeah, but you got to have the wherewithal to do it. And Ted Turner within his era was a gigantic force. And it's sad that he died because you got to go at some point. But this is a guy.
So how much money?
Also, I think at one point he owned more land than anybody in the United States.
Well, that's terrible.
So, you have anything good to say?
Well, I don't know him.
Right.
I've never heard of Ted Turner up until now.
All right.
I just never had, 24-hour television.
Cartoon Network?
Oh, I can get behind the Cartoon Network. Yeah. See, I like him for that, yeah.
First one to colorize movies when that was a thing in the 80s. That kind of went by the wayside. People got away from that.
Colorizing movies?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
He thought that was a good idea. Because people didn't want to watch black and white stuff, so he thought he could rejuvenate these old movies by colorizing them.
I've seen the original Night of the Living Dead in black and white. That's pretty alright.
But that's, he was one of those guys who was a billionaire, who became a billionaire, self-made billionaire, and also didn't feel it was just okay to sit back and make money.
How many billions did he have?
He also created the Goodwill Games, which brought together the Soviet Union and the United States for an event at a time when the Cold War was still going on.
Well, that's good.
So, again, a diplomatic guy, and he truly believed, if you ever listen to an interview with Ted Turner, he truly believed that if you were rich, that you should work on the world. He did not understand people who just sat on their money or donated their money to things that were not nearly as important to... He wanted nuclear disarmament. He did not like that.
Says the guy who owned more land than anybody else in the United States.
Well, what's that mean?
I mean...
What's that got to do with nuclear?
Well, I mean, nothing to do with nuclear. I mean, just, I mean... If people with money should use their money to improve the world, but I'm going to buy all of this land and own more land than anybody in the United States.
Right.
He could have just donated all that to charity, every bit of it. Could have bought no land. Could have bought a house.
You don't like to part with $3, so what in the world are you talking about?
Well, I'm not a billionaire, and I'm not saying that billionaires should be using their money for the betterment of the world.
No, he did, though.
Yeah, well, he...
And he did.
Well, I mean, kind of.
Kinda. $1 billion to the UN.
How many billions did this man have?
Well, it depended on what time in his life. He lost a lot of money when the AOL Time merger went through. Time Warner merger.
I'm sure he could have donated more than $1 billion to the UN.
So that would say...
Give me one
other person in the history of the United States that donated $1 billion to a cause like that.
Bill Gates donates loads of money.
No, to one cause.
Bill Gates.
Yeah, world peace. What's he donating his money to?
College funds.
Oh, that helps world peace.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, I think is what it's called.
Okay. My point again is...
He helps give people college.
He was the richest man in the world at one point.
Who?
Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates is putting pennies to the dollar.
Yeah, but look at the fraction of money that Bill Gates has donated to things, and look at the fraction of money that Ted Turner did.
If anything, we should talk about Elon Musk not donating money to anything.
Well, it's not donating money and not donating money, but I'm saying, again, to causes that help the world, and college funds are not groups that help the world.
Well, I think you need educated people in the world.
Oh, dude, says the person who didn't go to college.
Well, I didn't go to college, but I mean, there was a lot of... there's plenty of people who went to college who were dumb.
Again, they could have gotten the Bill Gates money.
I mean, so I don't think college really means a whole lot.
But back to what person donated that kind of money, and this was a heavy-duty percentage of his wealth, to a cause to help the world?
To help the world.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know a whole lot of people who donate money.
There you go. That should tell you something about Ted Turner.
I mean, Bill Gates got that whole thing going on. And I think he probably just uses that as
I don't know.
Like,
did Bill Gates die? Why are we talking about Bill Gates?
He probably got some tax breaks.
give to the UN?
No, I'm talking about Bill Gates.
Right, I don't think you get tax breaks for giving to the UN.
Well, it's not, yeah, I mean.
Right, and that's why Bill Gates does that.
It's not a charitable organization.
And he doesn't have any kids. Ted Turner had kids. Ted Turner gave to an organization that you're not going to get a tax.
Bill Gates doesn't have kids.
I don't think he does he?
I thought he did, but I don't know.
Who?
I don't know Bill Gates.
Well, maybe he does. I don't know. Why are we talking about Bill Gates? This has nothing to do with Bill Gates.
He's rich.
Oh, we're talking about rich people.
Well, you know.
No, we're talking about Ted Turner who died. ADD. I wish Bill Gates would give some money to ADD medication so people could get it free. Holy moly.
Oh.
The man has died. We're recounting the things that he did. We're not talking about Bill Gates. We're not stacking people up against it. And that's like somebody dies and he goes, wow, they were a great broadcaster. Yeah, but they weren't Walter Cronkite, so, you know. Forget that. Move on. Let's go. Let's talk about Walter Cronkite. Boy, he did some great things.
I don't know anything about Ted Turner.
Well, maybe you should know something before you get in this conversation.
I mean, I know about what you said.
Yeah. Maybe. You might have caught 20% of it.
And even, I mean, like, come on.
Time for break, thank goodness. We're going to break. Rest well, Ted Turner, at the age of 87. We'll be back after this.
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous. As I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything.